Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Let's pray. Father God, come on, if you're in the room, lift your hands. If you're not in the room, lift your hands. God is here. God is able. We're in this series called Now is the Time. I believe now is the time that we need to see God move like we've never seen a move before. So Father, we thank you that this is the time. Now is the time of the favor of the Lord. And I pray, Father, as I speak your word right now, and it goes out across the airwaves into nations, Father, into homes, into cities. Lord, I pray, Lord, it would impact people, Father God. People would step in, Father God, to a new realm in you. People would have a closer encounter with Jesus. I thank you. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit. Move on families, marriages, businesses today. Father, I pray for an increased passion. I pray that people would come to a greater understanding of how much you love them, how much you're for them. I thank you what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn around for his good. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. Amen. All right, you can take a seat. We're in this series, Now is the Time. Come on, say that out loud. Now is the time. Our key verses come from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Chapter talks about seasons and understanding where we're at right now. There is a time for everything, Solomon said. There is a season for every activity under heaven. Then he goes through those seasons. We haven't got time to read through those seasons. But the final verse is probably one of the most challenging, if not confusing, scriptures in the Bible. Now, we can often just flow over a scripture without unpacking it. But in verse 8, it says this. It says, there is a season, a time to love and a time to hate. Hello. A time for war and a time for peace. Now, we all agree on love and peace. Who would agree? Our world needs a lot more love and a lot more peace. It's toxic out there right now. But then the Bible says this. This kind of oxymoron. It says there's a time for hate and a time for war. I don't know about you, but I don't want any more hate and I don't want any more war. Hatred and fighting is the exact opposite of what our world needs right now. So I think there must be something else going on in this scripture for it to be allowed to happen in the Bible. Could it be that there is an... Could it be that there is an enemy out there that we should be hating and a war out there that we need to fight? COVID has been described as an invisible enemy, but COVID might be an invisible enemy, but it has created a very visible war. People are angry. People are disillusioned. People are upset. People are fed up. Let's be honest, we've all felt those emotions. Give me a hand if you felt one of those emotions in the last 5 minutes. Many people have been separated from loved ones. Not been able to give someone any physical contact. Not been able to be there at their child's wedding day. Not been able to hold their spouse's hand as they passed on into heaven. I don't know about you, but I feel let down. I want answers. And I feel like all we get is more restrictions. All we get is more questions. And we're searching for honesty. To be honest, we want some truth. Would you say that's a fair synopsis of where we're at right now in the world? So what do? We dig online. We try and find truth in statistics and graphs and forums. Do you know what that does? We get even more agitated. Then someone sends you a WhatsApp and it winds you up even more. You get even more confused. And then we can even start to buy into all sorts of weird and wonderful things, including conspiracies and narratives, and we get sidetracked into who our real enemy is. And we can even get sidetracked on what our real mission is. I think as followers of Jesus Christ, I think we need to recalibrate today, and we need to focus in on two questions. Question number one is this: who is our enemy? And question number two, what is our mission? Because if the enemy wants to do one thing, he wants us to get focused on the wrong opposition. He wants us to get focused on the wrong mission. You see, once you know who your enemy is, and once you know what your mission is in life, you're far more effective. I want to talk on a message titled, Now is the Time for War. Now is the time for war. We're going to try and understand what Solomon was talking about and who we should be hating and what wars we should be fighting. A time for war. I believe as we understand who our common enemy is and our mission, it will unite us and bring us together. You know, in March, April this year, our country has never been more united. We just kind of got through Brexit and then COVID struck. And then what happened is our country unified. We came together. We honored people. We loved people. We helped people. But what the enemy's done over the last few months is he separated us, he segregated us, and he's got us fighting one another. I believe that there are five positions you've got to take in a time of war. Five positions. Number one is this. If you're taking notes, take notes, because this is going to help you today understand the season that we are in. Number one, we've got to acknowledge our enemy. Acknowledge our enemy. Who is our enemy? We need to know who we are declaring war over. Solomon said, now is the time for war. Was he talking about war between each other? Was he talking about nation against nation? No, he was talking about a different kind of war. There's two ways God works in life. Number one, he works through illumination. The second way he works is elimination. We want God to illuminate all the answers to our prayers. We want him to give us microwave miracles. And God comes around. He says, no, what I'm going to do is eliminate things and show you the last one left. So let's eliminate some that are not our enemies. Okay, these are not our enemies. Number one is COVID is not our enemy. It's the fruit of our enemy. Number 10 is not our enemy. I know right now there are bullets firing at the door. And they are an easy target because they are the ones who are making the decisions that are impacting our lives, our jobs. But number 10 is not our enemy. The government advisors are not our enemy. Science is not our enemy. Bill Gates, he is not your enemy. You might not like him. It doesn't matter. 5G phone masks are not your enemy. The person who forgot their mask in Tesco is not the enemy. Sam Milcham and George and I, we went for a bike ride a few months ago and we were biking down Merritt's Way and a lady had a 2-meter stick and apparently I was a little bit too close and she put her stick out like this because I was the enemy. But I wasn't the enemy. Your spouse is not the enemy. Isn't it amazing in a time of war, the smallest thing can tick you off? Your kids, it's like normal, in normal life, that wouldn't have got me mad, but. And in times of frustration and anger, we can easily point our finger at the wrong enemy. So who is our enemy? Because if you don't know who your enemy is, you don't know how to declare war. Ephesians 6:12 is describing our enemy. For our struggle, wait for this, is not against number 10, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our fight, our enemy, our war is the devil. Now, this is probably the most I've ever talked about the devil in one message. I promise you I'll never do it again, but I feel like I've just got to tidy it up a little. Got asked recently, sitting down for dinner with some pretty cool lads, and they said, do you believe in the devil, John? It took me back. I said, actually, I do. I do, because I believe the devil is real, and the devil is, right now, he's causing havoc around our world. The devil is at work. In John 10:10, Jesus said, he says he'll come, and he'll try and kill, he will try and destroy, and he will try and steal your life. But the Bible says in 1 John 3:8, the Son of God, Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. The disease, the division, the problems we're seeing right now is not because of a person, it's because of the devil. And the challenge is, because we cannot see the devil, he escapes liability. We would much rather blame Whitehall. We would much rather blame something that we can see. So we declared war on the wrong enemy. Our frustration, our emotion has gone to Twitter, it's gone to WhatsApp, it's gone on conspiracy theories. And the enemy is so cunning that he distracts us. He distracts the attention off himself onto other people. Growing up playing football, I was one of the tallest on the field apart from Steve Morstan. And there was a couple of lads who were a little bit smaller than me, the Hollinger brothers. And they were quite cunning and clever. I'm not comparing them to any spiritual force of darkness or anything like that, but they had a way of picking on the biggest guy on the field, and they knew me because of my character. I would soon be in the mix, and then they would slowly be out of the mix. So they were quite prepared to start it, and then they would just slip away, and there would be, we'd get dragged into it. And the opposition soon forgot about the small guys, and I became the fall guy. It's amazing how quickly our attention gets pulled off who our real enemy is. Today, you've got to acknowledge the enemy. Now, once we have acknowledged our enemy, number two is this. We have to accept our God-given mission and authority. You've got to acknowledge who your enemy is, then you've got to accept your authority and your mission. You can choose to bow down, or you can choose to accept that this is not the new normal. You know, I choose that this is not the way life is. I choose that masks to me is no physical contact, shrinking economy, suicides rising in the fastest rate in recent history is not God's best for our world. Is anyone else who's going to choose to say that is not God's best? If you've accepted that wearing a mask is what you're going to do for the rest of your life, that is not faith. And as your pastor, I refuse to settle. I refuse to pull back. I refuse to settle. The enemy is wreaking havoc in our world. Suicide, mental health, unemployment, marriages. So I'm imploring you right now, Soul Church, those who are watching, now is the time. Accept your mission. Do not accept your circumstances. I am asking you that in the war, there was an old poster that said, your country needs you right now. Your God needs you. I am declaring 2021 is not going to look like 2020. There is a difference. There is a miracle. My mission is to believe God for supernatural breakthrough to this invisible war that we're facing. Most believers are ignorant about the authority they have against the devil. Luke 10:19 says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I have given you, Soul Church. I have given you, Mark. I have given you, Chantel. I have given you, Brittany. I have given you, Charlotte. I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. I would say don't try it. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall hurt you. Do not fear Corona. We have authority. If you don't know you have authority, you won't use it. You cannot walk in authority if you do not know the authority you're walking in. And your authority releases God's power. Right now, God wants to open your eyes to who you are in Christ. Let's stop saying it is what it is. We need to ban that language. It isn't what it is. It is what God says it is. Oh, 2020, it is what it is. Oh, Corona is what it is. Oh, the school is what it is. No, it is what God says it is. It's the year of God's favor. It's the year of God's blessing. It is the year. Don't accept it is what it is. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says, my faith might not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. My faith isn't reliant on Downing Street, or my faith isn't reliant on science. My faith is in the power of God. That's where I get my authority. That's where I get my authority to lay hands on the sick and people shall recover. accept my mission and accept my authority of who I am in God, I'm getting excited, but I'm also getting a little bit fired up. Because some of us have accepted what we read on here online. Some of us need to rise up. Some of you, you don't want to come to church next Sunday. Accept who you are in Christ. Accept the authority of who you are in Christ. God is your protector. God is your shield. No deadly thing coming against your family will prosper. Dads, rise up. Bring your children. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Accept my mission. Accept my authority. Number three, you getting this? You've got to arm yourself for the fight. You've got to acknowledge, you've got to accept the number three. You've got to arm yourself for the fight. When Paul wrote about the armor of God in Ephesians 6, he was in prison, chained to a Roman guard. And Paul would have stared at this guard. By the way, that's a little bit weird, isn't it, being chained to a guard? Imagine when you need to go to the bathroom. Anyway, he would have been staring at this guard night and day. And so he decided to write a sermon. He compared his shield and his spear. He compared his shoes and his helmet. He compared them to how we need to arm ourselves for the spiritual fight. Paul says, just as the Roman soldiers properly dressed for battle, we also need to be dressed for battle. Guys, this is a battle. As Christians, we've got to rise up and we've got to fight. We've got to acknowledge our enemy. We've got to accept who we are in Christ. But number three, we've got to arm ourselves. And this is what Paul said. I'm going to read it out. Put on the full armor of God. And when the day of evil comes, right now, we're in that day of evil. We're in that day right now. You may be able to stand. God doesn't want us to bow down. He says, I want you to stand. And after you've done everything else, he says, I want you to stand again. And then he says, stand again. Stand firm three times. Here's how we stand. The belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Your feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Into addition to all this, take the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Number 17, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Number 8, verse 18, pray in the Spirit. Paul says if you're going to fight, you've got to arm yourself in the right way. If I was going to go and defend our country in a different nation, I wouldn't take Justice's Nerf gun. Although, from a meter, when he shoots you in the eye, it does hurt. If you're going into battle, if you're in the army, you don't take a Nerf gun. You've got to choose the right weapons. Please hear my heart on this. The vaccine is not our weapon. A mask is not your weapon. The 2 meter sign on the floor is not your weapon against the enemy. All these things are good. But if the enemy is the devil and our mission is to destroy the works of the devil, he ain't worried about that. That ain't scaring the devil. What's scaring the devil is something. We're going to come on to it one sec. How we arm ourselves is critical. If you show up with a mask, the devil is laughing. He's saying, is that all you got? Is that all you've got? A paper-thin mask? A sign on the floor? That ain't scaring me. This is where we come on to number four. You've got to aim your artillery. You've got to aim your artillery. This is where battles are won and lost. You can know your enemy. You can know your authority in Christ. You can arm yourself for the fight. But if you aim your artillery in the wrong direction, you're going to lose the battle. You know, pointing your artillery in the wrong direction often in life causes you more harm than good. I think we all know the term friendly fire, one of the greatest casualties of war, when we accidentally attack our own. Too many churches, too many leaders, too many pastors, too many people are coming under attack right now because people are aiming their frustrations at people and it's becoming friendly fire. People are attacking their neighbors. Now is the time to keep our aim firmly at the enemy of our souls, which is the devil. Jesus teaches us to love one another, not snitch on one another. Jesus teaches us to love our neighbors, not tell on our neighbors. Let's not aim our artillery at the church or the government or the guy next door. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says we demolish arguments and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. This is where we can lose focus. This is exactly where the enemy wants us. He's saying, I want you just to turn your artillery and I want you to aim it in the wrong direction. I want you to give all the energy I've given you. I want you to take it out on the wrong person. The time between Sundays can be very long, especially when for some of you, you haven't stepped foot in the building since March. And I know it's been difficult. It's felt like a lifetime. But in that season, what has happened is people have taken their eyes off the real enemy. And daily, as Paul said, we've got to take every thought captive. I think Corona has, as much as it's been a battle against the body, it's been also a huge battle against the mind. Thankfully, like the majority of you, I have stayed physically well in this season. If I'm honest, my mental health has been challenged. And I know yours has too. Why? Because we take our aim off the devil who started this onto something else. To people, to neighbors, to the person who keeps posting things on Facebook and it winds us up. Suddenly we've created enemies. Our artillery needs to be aimed at the right direction. You know, a knife in a drawer scares no one. If anyone's ever had, tragically, a knife or a gun pulled on them, when that thing's aimed at you, that's a very different story. Now, the devil is not worried about a Christian on Instagram in the morning. He's not worried about you on Twitter. He ain't worried about you in a mask. I'll tell you what the devil's worried about, this. That when you wake up in the morning and you begin to prepare to open your Bible and you begin to take aim, that's when the enemy gets scared. What scares the enemy? The enemy is getting scared at the sight of people coming back into this room. The enemy is getting very nervous that very soon this room will be packed with worshipers glorifying and magnifying the name of Jesus. The enemy is scared that we're taking an offering up in 3 or 4 weeks' time that's going to build the kingdom of God. Your Bible is not effective on the shelf. You've got to dust it down. You've got to begin to take aim, because in a minute we're going to attack. Radio One on the way to work doesn't scare the devil. When you acknowledge your opposition, when you accept your God-given mission, when you arm yourself for the fight and you aim your artillery, number 5 and finally is this, you attack your enemy. You attack. I want you to say this out loud, attack. 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 Not attack the government. Not attack some conspiracy. No, attack the enemy of our souls. Spiritual warfare. By the way, this works on anything, not just COVID. If you're going through something in your marriage, these 5 principles work. This is how we fight our battles. This is how you fight the battle for your soul. This is how you fight the battle in your finances. This is how you fight the battle at home with your children. We attack through 3 ways. Here we go. Number 1, you confess God's word. Number 2, you pray in the spirit. And number 3, the weapon of worship. This is how we attack. The sword of the Spirit. Number 1, confessing God's word. We attack the devil with the word of God. When the devil came, he came after Jesus. What did Jesus do? He quoted, he said, "It is written." He spoke the word of God. I'm going to read out some of mine that I attack the devil on a daily basis. I want to encourage you to find some verses where you go into attack in the morning, where you put them on your wall, where you attack them, put them on your car, put them on your phone. You attack the enemy, memorize them. You know, quoting your favorite movie line won't help you in a crisis. You've got to get your sword out and you've got to begin to use it and speak the word of God. Now in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I don't have a spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. God blesses me and surrounds me with a favor as a shield. The weapons of our warfare are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. I am steadfast in mind. He keeps me in perfect peace. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now the devil's getting nervous. Now there's something in the atmosphere changing. Come on, I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. This is how we fight.
And this is how I find my battle.
Hold your Bible.
And this is how I find my battle.
That's just the first way. You confess God's word. Number two, when you attack, is this: you pray in the Spirit. Verse 18, Paul said, he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. You see, when you begin to pray in the Spirit, when I'm talking, I've got time to unpack what it means, but drop us a comment online and our team can help you understand more about the Spirit and speaking in tongues. But what happens is the devil cannot understand your spiritual language. He hasn't got a clue. It's like you confuse him. It's like you cause him to flee. I had a car a few years ago. It was a Saab. And on the button, on the gear stick, it had a button. It said S. When I got the car, I didn't have a clue what the S button meant. I thought I'll take it out on a night onto the dual carriageway. And I hit this button. It was called the supercharge button. What it did, it gives you an extra couple of thousand revs per minute. So if you get stuck behind a tractor, and let me tell you, if you live in Norfolk, it's a handy button. You just whiz around them. You know, Christians, every one of you's got an S button. Every one of you's got a supercharged button. Some of you, you're stuck. You're stuck behind a mountain of guilt, of shame. You're stuck behind a mountain bitterness. You're stuck behind a mountain and you're just happy to sit there, and God's saying, no, I've given you a button, and if you press that button, it's called the supercharged Holy Spirit button. And when you begin to speak in the words of the Spirit, what happens? Something supernaturally rises up in you and takes force against the enemy. I know this is totally weird, but we're going to practice this. I want you to begin to speak in tongues if you can. If you can't, just begin to tell Jesus how much you love him. Right now, all over this room, in your home, in your car, I want you to practice charging the presence of God in your house. I want you to practice the presence of God just for 30 seconds. I want you to sing in the Spirit. I know this is old school, but it works. It works. I wish, young people, you could get hold of this, because it elevates you. It takes you to a new dimension in him. Come on, all over this room, all everyone watching, come on, begin to speak and sing in the words of the Spirit. Come on, the enemy hates this. He hates this. He gets confused. The Bible says, resist the enemy and he shall flee. How do we resist him? By singing and speaking in the words of the Spirit. Thank you, God. Practice it. Practice it. Oh, we worship you, God. We pray. praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's hit that S button just for 5 more seconds. Come on, push into God. Thank you, Lord. There is a battle being won right now. There is a battle. Come on, for our nation right now. For our country, for our government. Come on, let's speak in the words of the Spirit. Come on, we need the world to get going again. It's a spiritual battle, and the spiritual battle has to be won at a spiritual level. Thank you, Lord. We cannot beat a spiritual enemy with a natural force. We need a supernatural force. Hallelujah. Come on, this is how we fight. Hallelujah. Third and final form of attack. Number one is confessing God's word. Number two is speaking in the Spirit. And number three is through worship. Worship isn't just a set of 2 or 3, 4 songs that we sing when we come to church. And it makes us feel good and we like the words and we like the person who's singing it. That's not worship at all. That's performance. Worship is when you literally connect your heart to God's. And worship is a cry, it's a call to battle. This is so critical right now. I want you to understand what the enemy is up to here. Why do you think that the enemy has silenced worshipers? Why do you think they're trying to shut down people singing and worshiping and praising God? Let me just show you real quickly from Scripture. Judges chapter 20 verse 18. It says, the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God. They're going up to fight. They're going up to fight the children of Benjamin. And they say, there's 12 tribes of Judah and they're going up to fight. And they say to God, how do we fight? And he says this. He says, the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. Now what is Judah? Judah was the group, the tribe of worshippers. So before you ever went out to war, they blew trumpets, they waved flags, they shouted, they screamed, they sang. So before they ever went and fought the Philistines, you know what they did? They sent Chantel and Brittany into first. I think that's a good idea. They said, before we attack the enemy, what we're going to do, we're not going to give you a sword, we're not going to give you a shield, we're not going to give you a bow and arrow, we're going to send the worshippers, we're going to send the drummer, we're going to send the bass guitarist, we're going to send you guys out first. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd send my top military guys in first. These guys can do the ambience in the background. But Jesus wants to show us something today. Every time Israel sent Judah in first in Scripture, they won the battle. Every time a different tribe went first, they lost. Do you know why we're losing the battle? It's because the enemy has silenced the worshippers. You've got to send Judah first. This is why I'm big on this. This is why I'm making a sound about this. Because worshippers cannot stay silent. Worship attracts heaven. And the devil is so subtle. He's so deceptive. He's trying to shut the church up. He's trying to shut the church down. But we got to rise up. We got to take godly authority. And we got to begin to worship and praise. And we got to send Judah first. He shut down the very weapon he knows that will hurt him the most. Worship. This is how we fight our battles. I want to encourage you, when you wake up tomorrow morning, put on your worship. And you begin to sing and you begin to declare, this is how I fight my battles. Before you open social media, declare, God is good in my family. God is good in my business. Begin to confess the word of God. Take authority over every situation. The enemy of our soul is the devil. Acknowledge your position. Accept your God-given mission. Arm yourself for the fight. Aim your artillery and attack your enemy.
We fight our battles with worship today. In Jesus' name. the time to declare war. Pastor John, that was an incredible word. And I'm grateful I was in the room to hear that. And I know you guys online were blessed. Pastor John, can you make a series out of that? I don't know where you are right now, but I'd love to hear that. And if you'd love to hear that, put it in the comments, because that was a word for the season. That was a word for right now. So if Pastor John was voicing God's marching orders for his army, I'm probably here as acting as a recruiting sergeant for his army. Because there's this song that we've all sung in primary school. It goes, oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. I want to be in that number. In that number. You see, that song, it highlights something. It highlights that to be in an army, you've got to kind of swear an oath. You've got to recognize that you're part of something that is bigger than you. And that's the call that Jesus had. He says to his disciples on the shores of Galilee, come, follow me. Leave your fishing nets, leave your boats, leave your old ways of life, and come and follow me in a new way of life. And really, 2,000 years later, I'm echoing that same call, saying, are you prepared to follow Jesus? You see, unless you make a decision to say, you know what? I'm in. You know what? I'm making Jesus my acting sergeant. I'm making Jesus the guy who calls the shots in my life. Until you do that, you're just running along with the idea of it. Jesus said, he said, if you confess with your mouth that I am Lord, that I rose from the dead for the forgiveness of your sins, you'll have eternal life. My question to you today is, what is your confession? Who is Jesus to you? If you agree with everything John says, then I've got a little bit of a hint thinking that maybe Jesus should be your confession. And today it would give me no greater honor than to lead you in a moment, in a time where you commit the rest of your life to following him, to serving him, to building his kingdom, to being part of God's army, and really seeing kingdom come here on earth. If that's you today, if you're at home watching, I'd love you to say this prayer with me. And maybe for some of the guys in the room, you're welcome to join if this is maybe a first time for you as well. But I'd love you just to close your eyes and just think about that question again. Who is Jesus to me? Father, for every single person right now that is acknowledging the fact that they've never ever made an active decision to be part of your family, part of your army, but right now they're deciding that this is for them, I pray you speak to them. If you're making this decision today, I'd love you to say these words after me. It's a declaration to God that you're deciding to choose him. Father, right now, I give you my life. I turn away from my old life and come and follow you. Help me every day put you first. Help me understand the word like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, let's give a massive round of applause to every single person that said the greatest decision that you've ever made. And what I've been waggling around in my hand is a Bible. And like John says, the word of God is what we need. It's the fuel for the fire. It keeps us on the right track. These are our marching orders. And hey, maybe you're not able to grab a physical Bible like I've got here with me, but we'd love to get a Bible into your hands. And so there's a couple of ways you can do it. Really easy. If you go on the App Store on your iPhone or Samsung or whatever phones you're on nowadays, just type in the Bible app. It's called BYUversion. It's really easy to find. There's a couple of others out there that are really great. We'd love you to download it. Start reading it. YouVersion's got plans, but we've also got groups as well. So please, please, please let us know. Get in contact. We've also got a number. We'd love you to text. It's going to come up right now on the screen. Send us a message. Maybe you don't feel comfortable texting a number. Send us an email to info@soulchurch.com. Pastor John, that was an incredible word. Thank you very much. And hey, let's give him one more round of applause, because we can, because we're in the room. That was incredible.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.